Open your Bibles this morning, please, to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. There is information in the bulletin. If you have a bulletin, you can just look on the back, put the verses there, and the basic structure of the sermon this morning. 1 Corinthians 11, please. All right, let's stand together. We'll start reading. If you don't have a bulletin, Robert is very fast. He can get you a bulletin. And if you would prefer, you could take notes right on the bulletin. That would be fine. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. I'm going to speak this morning on the Lord's Supper on the first Sunday of the year. This is our normal time of the Lord's Supper. I think it's my job to inform you. So we normally do the Lord's Supper every month. And other Bible-believing churches of our variety do it quarterly. So somewhere a couple, two or three years ago, I understood that we should actually do, and this is, you got to actually listen, do both. So we still do it every month, but two, three times a year, maybe four, I try to have one Sunday specifically given to the Lord's Supper. This is one of those. I've entitled this, Taking a Look at the Lord's Supper. And I mean exactly what it says, taking a look at the Lord's Supper. It's all going to be about looking. All right, in your Bibles or in bulletin, wherever you're reading. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Do you realize for some people to come to church, things are worse when they leave? I'm not going to say who. Tim knows. There are certain people, if they're not here, I notice it because when they come, things are always for the better. Other people, nobody misses them. Welcome to Corinth. Verse 18. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions, schisms, rips among you. And I partly believe it. For there must, and this is a hard verse, I'm not going to explain it today. For there must also be heresies, or these different little parties among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. That's a very difficult verse. I'll skip that verse for today. Verse 20. When you come together, therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is, what? Drunk? My favorite verse in the whole chapter, my favorite word in the whole chapter. Can I say it like we do? What? What are you thinking? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? The answer would be, or despise you the church of God? The answer would be, yes. And shame them that have not? The answer would be, yeah, that's what you're doing. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. And then we have Paul's great telling of what we find in Matthew 26, Mark, Luke. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, meaning he gave thanks after the exact same manner. And when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament, or the New Covenant, same word, in my blood. So it is the New Covenant in my blood, meaning it's because my blood has been shed. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man or a woman, let an individual examine himself or herself, And so let him or her eat of that bread and drink of that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh a much moderate, this is way too strong in modern English, just judgment, drinketh judgment to himself. Why? Because he does not discern the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. God has even brought judgment in your midst. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. By the way, the Lord's Supper is not your snack or your meal. That you come not together unto judgment. And the rest will I set in order when I come. I'm going to make this as positive as this text allows me. Everyone look at me. I am not going to cover everything. We're going to touch upon all the big ideas, but there will be some things left unsaid. We're going to take a look at the Lord's Supper. That's what I want to accomplish this morning. Simple, 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 but not simple. And we'll touch upon the portion that 1 Corinthians has that none of the rest of the New Testament has, this unworthily thing. We'll talk about that a little bit. Father, help me this morning as I look at this beautiful text. It's not the center of the Christian church, but it is the center in the sense of the cross is the center. Sovereign grace, the grace of God that sent his Son to this world. And this is one of the ways that he left us a way of remembering, giving thanks together until he comes. Help us this morning to take a serious look at the Lord's Supper, but not in any kind of negative way, just what's it all about? What should we be doing? Bless, Lord, I ask this morning in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Cliff, would you turn lights off behind me, please? Who's up in the balcony? Krusty, is that you up there? Or is that, no, it's not Krusty. You're right here. It must be Superman. If you'll turn, do the first slide. Anybody in this room been to this place? This is Mesa Verde. This is one of the major sites at Mesa Verde. This is a cliff dwelling. I don't know when it was built, 1,000 or so years ago. And it is, the best way to describe it, a sight to behold. It's beautiful. It's interesting. These are all over the Southwest. This is the largest one in the Southwest. And if you go there, you can take a guided tour, and the tour costs like $3 or something. It's not like money. You can take they'll bring you right down through. They do actually 3 or 4 tours of different places. This is one that normal people can do. There's another one that I like, but you have to climb through a hole. And that hole is very long. And can I say this? That hole is made for people that don't weigh almost 200. Let's just say it that way. Well, why do I bring this up? Go ahead and show the second slide, please. That's the second one. Is there a third one the same? Yes. Now, my wife and I think, have been here 3 times. I cannot remember. Or we've been to the park 3 times. The last time we were there, we kind of were experienced of what to look for. You understand? Do you know, your first trip anyplace, you don't know what to look for. So we'd kind of been around. We've been around a lot of places. If you ever go out in that neck of the woods, Canyon de Chelly, you have to go there. You have to go to Batotica. And I can tell you the places you have to go to. Robert and Pearl's been to wonderful places that I haven't been. I mean, there's a lot of beauty and history here. Don't ride with Jim Duncan, because he will talk so much that he will make you miss your turnoff. That's another whole story. But anyhow, you start the tour up high. You gather together. By the way, you don't have to stay there. You don't even have to take the tour. You can walk down to the first level, and that's where you get this picture. You're not even there. You can take this shot right from the first level. Well, but we took the tour. We gathered up, and they brought us down, and then there's like an overlook, and you can take pictures of the beautiful site. And then they take you, and it's like, it has like two or three kind of drop downs, two or three stages. And then you actually enter from this left side, and you can walk through. You can't get into everything, but you can walk through on prepared places, and it's pretty nice. Say, why am I showing you this picture? Here you are, bunch of boneheads. You walk down. Look at me in the eyes, everybody. Here's Pastor Warren. I'm going to recommend you to do this, Just John. If you ever go to these places, there's some basic rules. Look back. Look at me. Look up. The first thing that happens is you're walking. Before you get there, next slide. Right across is another cliff dwelling, a small one. I remember, I knew it was there. So when Jenny and I walked down, I was looking at that, and guess what everybody else was doing? And I actually told somebody, look, and they actually didn't look. They wanted to get to the neat stuff. And it's like, I'm bad. I shouldn't do things. I'm not as bad as Louis or Cliff. I'm not that bad. But I actually went to my wife. Look over there. I did it for people to see. They still didn't look. People just... I have two basic phrases. Look up, look back. And if you have a chance, look around. You say, why? Next slide, please. You can see them in the crevice. You can see it up above. Straight up above, there are little bitty cliff dwellings where families would live, just a family. Can I tell you what's funny? All of those, when you walk down, you could look up, and if you look back down the valley, they were as far as you could see on both sides of the valley. And nobody was looking. Because everybody was looking at their phone because they wanted to take a picture of the big place, and it's all around you. Go ahead and show us the next slide. Some on the left, and that's just a different vantage. By the way, two-thirds of it, I couldn't get an angle for a good picture. Go ahead to the next one. I met somebody there, my girlfriend. She showed up right there in the picture. There's another picture. She's there at the back. By the way, you can walk through that, but look, friends, all around you there were things, and everybody was, let me get to the big show here. Just John, if you go out there, hear me. Look up, look back. Walnut Canyon, if you go to Walnut Canyon, don't you dare just walk the path like the boneheads. Stop, look up, look around. You'll see stuff every place. And everybody else is looking down. That's my sermon this morning. When you look at the Lord's Supper, you actually have to look. And you got to know where to look. You can't just, all right, it's this dumb cracker that I don't like the taste and grape juice. I don't like that either. It isn't about that. Well, in your Bibles, bulletins, whatever, I'm going to talk about where we ought to be looking. That's the point this morning, looking. Well, obviously, this is the most obvious, beautiful, and important is looking back. Part of when we come to the Lord's Supper is not to look at elements and think magic and all, you know, all of that. But the whole point of these elements is so that we look back specifically at the cross and what Christ did for us. The whole Lord's Supper is to get us to look back and remember and think about Christ and what he has done. Doesn't have to just be that. Look at verse 23. For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night, he's causing us to think back to the night when the Lord's Supper was instituted and the Lord, before his actually dying on a cross. But the whole point is go back to the actual night. Go back to Judas betraying Jesus. Go back to a disciple handing Jesus over to people that were going to kill him. Now, not weeping, But understanding this really happened, we're always looking back at the cross. He goes on to say, verse 24, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Verse 25, "After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had sipped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Obviously, the central place to look, the whole purpose of the Lord's Supper was, oh, we do it monthly. Some good churches do it quarterly. Not a problem. But we spend that time looking back, thinking about two concepts: Christ and him crucified, the whole gospel story, and the fact that he saved me by his blood, by his broken body, that him dying in my place, my sin being imputed to him, his righteousness being imputed to me, I'm dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne, but I'm always thinking back, looking back at the cross. That's central to the Lord's Supper, obviously. Now, friend, look at me. You don't have to just look at that day. The whole process is good. How about this? My first verse I ever memorized, John 3:16. Why did I memorize it? Because I heard it in church. "For God so loved," can you say it? "So loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall never perish but have everlasting life." Friend, we look back at what Christ has done for us. What he did. So many passages. If you'll turn your Bibles to John 18, not in the notes, we'll look at a couple, if you would. But I'll start in John 1:11. He came unto his own world, his own place, the place he created, and his own people received him not. John 10:11 says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." My friend, looking back, recognizes the cross is not an accident. Do I need to say this? But the answer is yes. It's not about those bad Jews that killed Christ. The Christ killers. Look at me. If you have that understanding of Christianity, you don't understand Christianity. It's not even about Judas. Because frankly, the word parodidomi, the one that betrayed, is the Greek word that means to hand over. And in Romans 8:32, the Father hands his Son up to die in our place. We're not looking back blaming. Jesus would have, I would have been okay if it wasn't for, are you kidding me? Jesus came to die for our sins. John 10, verse 17, Jesus says, "Therefore doth my Father love me." Why? "Because I laid down my life, that I might take it again. No man," Judas, Pontius Pilate, Herod, not 10 million men, not 100 million, not 10 billion, "no one could take it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again." My friend, when we look back, we recognize this is about the Son coming to give his life for your sins, my sins. And salvation is only through Christ. Sola fide, based on Christ alone, faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone. It's all rooted in him. Well, John 18, would you look there, please? This is one of those strange verses. John 18, verse 4. John 18, verse 4, Jesus is being arrested. By the way, when I say look back, I'm not just talking about, he got beat with a whip. Folks, you're missing all of Christianity. The Son of God went to the cross deliberately, willingly, for our sins. Yes, a lot of people were complicit, including you and me, because we have sinned. And if you haven't sinned, then you don't need Jesus. But if you have sinned, you're complicit in his death. But he went there voluntarily. John 18, verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing, one of the great verses ever, knowing all things that should come upon him, he knew exactly what was going to happen. Wow. He what? He went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered to him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, yeah, in Greek it's weird because normal people don't respond this way. Ego eimi, I am. It could be I am he, but it's the same phrase that we find in Exodus. He's making a statement here, friends. I am. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am, and the he is not in Greek, I am, it says they went backwards and fell to the ground. Please look at me, friend. Do you understand when Jesus went to the cross, it wasn't like poor little Jesus got caught up by the Romans. I constantly hear unsaved people talk about the crucifixion like Jesus just got, he couldn't do anything. Folks, he is very God of very gods. When he just said, I am, like Exodus 3, I am that I am. I mean, the whole crowd fell down. As he says in Matthew 26, he could have called 12 legions of angels. And one angel killed 100-something thousand people in one night. And he created all the angels. Friend, he wasn't like, oh, what am I going to do? Our Savior came to earth. From his side, he came. From the Father's side, the Father sent the Son. They both are the same. He came to earth intentionally to die for our sins. Yes. Continue. Verse 10, please. Then Simon Peter, having a sword. By the way, I like Peter because he's so much like me. He had a sword, and he smote the high priest's ear, the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Peter, what are you thinking? That's in Greek, by the way. Put up thy sword into the sheath. In this unbelievable phrase, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Everyone look at me, please. And I do not have a bottle of water. Where did my water go? I'm all discombobulated. Look me in the eyes. If I had a cup right here, when you hear the word cup in the Bible, you have to understand that is used dozens and dozens and dozens of times in the Old Testament for God's wrath. Jesus was going to drink the cup of God's wrath towards mankind's sin, including yours and mine. He must do this. Peter, what are you thinking? You think your dumb sword's going to do the job? I don't need your sword. But do you do understand I came here to drink the cup that no one else can drink? I came here to take the wrath of God on myself so you sinful men and women could escape the wrath of God. Yes. Look me in the eyes. Are you looking back? Are you thinking about yourself right now? Are you thinking about what's for lunch? What's the Lord's Supper? You can be a typical person stumbling and bumbling. And I see it every place I go. And you're like, look up, look around, look back. Do you not understand? The Son of God drank the cup that if you have to drink it, you have no hope. He drank it for you deliberately. That is the gospel. The gospel is not God loves you so much because you're so lovable. And that's American gospel. Christianity is you're a sinner and I'm a sinner and we're under the judgment of God. And the Son of God came to this earth and drank of that cup. And poor dumb Peter. But Peter's right where we always are, bumbling and stumbling. One last reference, John 19, please. We could spend all day just talking about this. We all should know this. By the way, friend, what's the Lord's Supper? It's looking back at the cross and everything connected to the cross. The cross is no accident. The cross is God's sovereign plan to save people, his people. It's the sovereign plan that he set in motion in eternity past. When God the Son was was decided that he would come and suffer in our place. John 19:30. Oh, I love this phrase. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." Friends, my wife went out of town 2 days this week. Ladies, can I ask you a question? Do you ever get the dishes washed? I'm asking you a question, ladies. Do you ever get the dishes washed? And what happens the moment you get them washed? Your husband comes home and puts more in the sink. By the way, I cannot yet wash dishes. I almost said wash. I cannot yet wash dishes at 66, but I can get them in the sink. So she came home after 2 days, and you say, "Did you buy her a present?" Yes. The sink was full. By the way, nothing's ever finished. Do you understand on the cross, when Jesus died in your place, he paid a debt you could never pay if you lived 10 million lifetimes. And he paid it, and he paid it in full. He paid it off, and there's no more to be paid. It is finished. So this morning, can you turn these things back on, Christy? Or Superman? I'm sorry. Go to the very first one. Oh, that's good. That's good enough. By the way, is that beautiful? Yep. Wonderful. But look back. There's more to see. What else? Well, let's look at our verse. Just leave that one up there, Superman, if you would. Let's look back at the text, please. Look back at verse 24. In verse 25, if you would, please. What else? Looking back in your bulletins, I say this. Looking up. I want to ask you a question. Do you know that there's a joke that most people never look up? Did you know that? Most people never do this. They just look. The moment you look back, I believe there is a chain. The moment you look back and reflect and remember on what Christ has done, the moment you do that, the next thing that's going to happen to you is you're going to look up. You say, why are you going to look up? The Lord's Supper is not just some kind of history lesson, but it's what he has done in the past, on the cross, and in our own life when we got saved. And it's like a chain that cannot be broken. The moment you look back, you're going to look up, looking back at the cross, looking up with thanksgiving. It is, you cannot break it. And if you don't look back, you do not look up. It's natural to look up with thanksgiving. Look what it says. And when he had given thanks, Eucharisteo. Catholics call this the Holy Eucharist. By the way, everyone look at me. Nothing wrong with the word, except nobody knows what it means. It's a really simple word. It means, I give thanks. Can I ask you, do you give thanks at the Lord's Supper? Yes, if you're looking back, your next move is going to look up. Do you ever do that with people? I challenge you. If you're struggling with people, all you got to do is just step, look back at the people in your life that have been a blessing to you, and it's inevitable you're going to be thankful. And by the way, unthankful people never look back. Unthankful people look at a mirror at themselves, and they're never grateful for anybody that's ever done anything for them. But when you look back and remember, you look up with thanksgiving. You give thanks. That's the second purpose of the Lord's Supper. I'll skip on and we'll go to part number three. Friends, now it gets tougher. Please look at me. Now it gets tougher. I want to say again, now it gets tougher. For all of you that have struggled with feeling unworthy to take the Lord's Supper, I do not have time to preach on that, but I'm going to do. By the way, please look at me. If you feel unworthy to take the Lord's Supper, that's normal. Look me in the eyes. If you feel worthy to take the Lord's Supper, you don't get salvation. Christ makes you worthy, but this text is not talking about how you feel. This text is not talking about if you feel worthy. This text is talking about another place to look. Are you ready? By the way, you cannot do the Lord's Supper by yourself. I'm going to show you step by step by step in this text. I won't get off on a portion of this. The third place you look is, look at me, is looking around. John, we went to Walnut Canyon, my wife and I did. As we're walking down, and you walk down, you walk way around a mountain, then you go way down, and you walk another around a mountain. I remember as we got back to the starting point, having enjoyed a wonderful walk, there was a couple coming, and they chatted. And I remember looking at the guy and saying, please, look up, look back, and look around. And you know what he did? He said, thank you. We were halfway in our journey where we met. There was the way the canyons work. We kind of took our time. We weren't in a hurry. We wanted to enjoy. They were moving faster, and they ended up meeting us. And you know what he said? Thank you for telling me to look back. This morning, to do what's proper at the Lord's Supper, we look back at the cross, we look up with thanksgiving, and we look around, hear me, with love and connectivity, or connection. Because the Lord's Supper is not for you. It's not for you to feel good. It's not for you to take home with you. The Lord's Supper is something the Lord gave the church, a body of believers. Well, we need to read. Look at verse 17, please. If you have in your bulletins, you might want to underline every word that I mention. Because he kind of does this. Just keeps hitting you on the head. Verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, here it is, thunerkomai, that you come together. You see, the Lord's Supper is not an individual thing. It's what we do as a body. Verse 18. For first of all, when you come together, thunerkomai again, in the church, he even tells you, as a congregation. Verse 20, when you come together into one place. He says, in your case, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one's hungry and another's drunken. And my favorite word in the whole text, what? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God? Why? Look at me, friend. We're going to continue. Look at me. Eating the Lord's Supper unworthily is not, I'm not sure if I'm sinless. I'm not sure if I'm worthy. You're not worthy. Look at me. Get over feeling worthy. You're not worthy. Christ makes you worthy. But he's talking about, as you partake of the Lord's Supper, you're not looking around. Because you don't care about anybody but. You spend your life looking in a selfie. No, the Lord's Supper is about us. It's when we come together in one place as a congregation. And he just keeps having, because the church at Corinth, they came together as groups. You had the wealthy group, which excluded the poor group. We had the cool kids, which excluded the uncool kids. We had the sophisticated ones that excluded the unsophisticated. And they all came to do their own thing. And Paul is condemning. Look at me in the eyes. And he is saying, if you partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily like that, there is a good chance God will judge you. For this cause many sleep, many are weak, and some are even dead. Why? Because we look around. We're interested, and I'm going to get to that in a moment. The whole sermon is actually this point, because this is the point that, well, we'll get to it. Verse 22, would you? What? Have you not houses to drink in? The answer would be yes. Despise you the church of God? Yeah, because nobody's important but me and my feelings. And shame them that had you. You're willing to bring shame, hiyah, on someone that doesn't have anything? What's wrong with you? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Verse 27, please. Verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord. And by the way, I'm not a grammarian, but in Greek and in English, this is not an adjective. Look at me. An adjective describes me or you. Look at me. I am. I, Ralph Warren, am unworthy. That's an adjective. Christ makes me worthy. Unworthily is an adverb. It's telling me how I partake of the Lord's Supper. And in the case of Corinth, what was the problem? They were just doing their own thing, thinking about themselves. Who cares about anybody but me? My feelings, my thoughts, my this, my that. And Paul is like, no, no, no. You're partaking of the Lord's Supper unworthily. That's not how you partake of the Lord's Supper. Let's keep reading. By the way, it's pretty strong. He says, again, verse 27, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of Christ. But let a man or a woman examine himself or herself. Otherwise, you better find out if you're looking around caring about the body. You say, how do you know this, Pastor Warren? I'm getting there. Keep reading. If you're a self-centered, narcissistic person only thinking about self, this passage is directly speaking to you. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself. Why? Why and why? It says he does not discern the Lord's what? What's the body here? Us. The problem at Corinth wasn't that people were sinful. Everybody's sinful. It wasn't that people were unworthy. Everybody's unworthy. It was that they couldn't care less about anybody else, so they split up into their little groups, and they did their little group thing, and they shamed some people, and they put other people down, and they excluded other people. I'm the person. Verse 33. So it's all about the Lord's body is the problem. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together, sunerkomai, again, to eat. He says, make sure you have the whole body there. Tarry for one another. And if any man hunger, eat at home, please. That you come not together unto condemnation or judgment. I want to say a couple of opening things. The Lord's Supper is rooted in the body. It cannot be done alone. There's no individual communion. Look at me, friends. We don't do communion individually. We don't take communion to hospitals. You say, why? Because it's only a body thing. It's what we do when we come together. So we look back at the cross. We look up with thanksgiving. And we look around with love and connection. Because it's a body. The sin of Corinth, everything was about me, myself, and I. The important people, many people were excluded, many were not included. Select people were elevated. In some churches, it might be race or class or spiritual levels. I'm going to come to this in a moment. I want to say this. First time I went to Scotland, And let me just say this, friend. I have no background in Catholicism or the Anglican Church. Okay, so this is not about anybody. I don't have that background. First time my wife and I went to Scotland, we went to some churches. There's some old buildings there. They're not churches, they're buildings. Most of them, actually, there's no church there at all. They're empty. We even went to the church that the royal family in Scotland, the one they go to when they're there in town in Scotland at the castle that Queen Victoria built. My mind skips, what is it, Balmoral? I forget which one it is. We went to that church building. You know what they're like? Everybody look up here. Do you know what they're like? Every one of them. Do you know? in the front, as opposed to Baptists like these really, really, really bad people in the back. I'm just joking. Baptists like it in the back. But see, when you're in a class culture, you want to sit where the important people sit. So on both sides in the front, there were boxed seats where you had to open a door to walk in, padded pews. Then that was the first level on both sides. And then you had three or four seats that were padded, but just normal pews, wooden, old. This was old. The farther back you went, the worse the chair pews were. And then there was a large section in the back where you had the privilege of standing up. And if you were the really low class, there was a balcony for you. So you went to church in a Christian church, and everybody knew who the important people were and the zeros. Exactly the opposite of what God teaches. Now, you say, that does that offend you? It offends me to my toes. But I thought Christians didn't do that in Bible-believing churches until I became a pastor. And I met a woman, I'm going to call her Flapjaws. Have you ever met somebody that has a lot of movement in their face? I can do it a little bit. Mrs. Flapjaws, this is what every time in her, I can do it a little bit. She didn't, some people would say she was weaned on a dill pickle. No, she drank pickle juice every morning. She went to church and looked around, and she was more spiritual than everybody else. We've had that here recently. One old prude believes he or she is way above normal creatures. Now that person doesn't give, doesn't serve, doesn't work in the church, doesn't help in Awana, never done the nursery, never done anything, but they're pretty sure that prude is much higher than normal humans. That is an abomination that puts you in a very bad place to take the Lord's Supper. Looking around is essential. So I'm just going to say this. Are you all listening to me? I was happy to see Preston. Is Preston perfect? He's related to Anderson. That's all I got to tell you. But I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. He's part of us. If he's not doing well, we're not doing well. When I saw Jude, I'm happy Jude's in college. If Jude's doing well, we're doing well. If Jude's not doing well, we're not doing well. My buddy Junior here, I like Junior. I don't like how he treats his sister. He's far too nice to her. But I tell you what, if Junior's succeeding, we're succeeding. If Junior's not succeeding, we're not succeeding. You know what this is called? Christianity. And when we're at the Lord's Supper, we don't just focus in, I want to make sure that God knows that I am perfect and sanctified. Oh, shut up. I can only come to the Lord's Supper because of Christ. It's Christ alone. It's grace alone. It's not a little bit me and a little bit, you know, maybe a little bit of Jesus. But my friend, we come, yes, we look back at the cross. Yes, immediately you look up with thanksgiving for what God has done for you. But you look around and you start saying, I'm in it with, I love that person, persons, people, groups. I'm going to include those people in my group. Can I repeat that? I'm going to include that person or people in my group. I'm not going to be a pious puke. Because if you want to understand 1 Corinthians 11, it was people that thought they were superior to others. I want to say this. I never really thought this existed. I only have two motifs. I'm a toggle switch. I'm an intellectually oriented person, meaning I live in the mind. That's just who I am. On the other half of my life, I'm a simple person. You say, what do you mean? When I come to church, I just come to church to sing, to pray. I don't look out there and think, oh man, I am so much better. I really never had that thought. I actually thought in an evangelical church, we all thought we were sinners. And therefore, we need God's grace, and we're in it together. And Paul says, you better examine yourself. Not to find out if you're worthy. You're not worthy. But to find out if you're partaking of the Lord's Supper without looking around. So I'm going to say it another way. When Brenna, I wish Brenna was here. I think she should transfer her college up here. But when I see Brenna, I'm happy. You say why? Because she's doing well. And by the way, when she's doing well, we're doing well. Do you not feel this way? This is the church, folks. It's what we're about. So, yeah, I'm going to look back. Yes, sir. I'm going to look at the cross, which is going to cause me to look up with thanksgiving, and it's going to cause me to look around at the people that I love with concern and connection. These are my people. So I had a talk this week with somebody I love a lot. Strange, because the older you get, old people know this, you don't develop new friends as quickly. I talked to Marty Marriott. Dr. Marriott's not doing well. He's fighting two major storms from two different sides, cancer and heart problems. And it's both sides. You know what I said to him? I said, Dr. Marriott, we talked for 38 minutes or something. I said, brother, before we get off the phone, I want to tell you something. I appreciate your desire to include young men that have come across our path in this church that now can go to Maranatha and work on a master's degree. And I said, Dr. Marriott, by the way, are you listening? I said, thank you for including Timothy Tom in Maranatha. Your name, buddy. You say, why? It's our people. What's wrong with us? How could a person come to church looking down on other people? We're all people in need of the grace and mercy of God. And friend, I'll conclude the third point by saying this. When one person succeeds, we all benefit. And if we see people struggling and we're not with love and concern and connection, interested, something's wrong. And I'm going to recommend to you, look at me, you dare not partake of the Lord's Supper this morning if you are only interested in you. Because I'm interested in all of us. I love having Carly here. You say why? Because I like to hear her giggle. I don't know if I could handle her and Brenna giggling for like 8 hours, but I love it. But can I say this? She was born here. She grew up here. I like the twins. Why? Because they were born here. They grew up here. Am I happy that they have done well? Nothing could make me happier. And by the way, it's the same way I feel about everybody. So here's my point. This morning, look at me. Stop thinking about lunch. Start looking back at the cross, which will cause you to look up with thanksgiving, which will cause you to look around with love and connection to the body. The church's problem in Corinth wasn't sin in this case. It was they didn't care about anybody but themselves and their little groupie. And I only invite two people to... I actually had a woman in St. Louis that said, I only like to have one couple as our friends. What? Why? Because then she could be the center of the world. No, we connect. There's a last place to look. Turn your Bibles or your bulletin, whichever you prefer. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. It's looking back at the cross in remembrance of me. It's looking up with thanksgiving, giving thanks. It's looking around with love and connection to God's people, the body. You've got to discern the body. We do this as a body, not as individuals. Fourthly, it's looking forward to the kingdom. He says in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death to everybody, that the center of it all is what Christ did for us till he come. In our viewpoint, that's the rapture. He catches his church away, but more importantly, he returns and establishes his kingdom, a righteous kingdom for 1,000 years. We look forward, looking forward to the kingdom. Matthew 26, 29, and in Mark and in Luke, says the same thing. But I say unto you, Jesus said to his disciples, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Friend, please look at me. Can you go forward a couple slides? Backwards, maybe. There you go. One more. There you go. Here's the message this morning. Where are you looking? Look back, the cross. Look up, thanksgiving. Look around. By the way, here's people. I even did this, literally, because I'm weird. I kept pointing to with my wife. She knew what she was looking at, because I wanted people to notice. I even told people, look back. Next slide. The piece that I can't show. No, the slide on the wall. Go ahead. There. Folks, as far as the eye could see, on both sides, there were dwellings. Nobody saw them because they were looking at themselves. Looking at the Lord's Supper. Looking back at the cross, looking up with thanksgiving, look around with love and compassion, and looking forward to the kingdom. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the cross. But the cross, yes, Jesus came to seek and to save me, no doubt. But it wasn't just about me. It's about us. Father, help us to keep looking. Help us to learn to look back, up, around, and forward. Because that's what we'll be looking at 10 million years from now. We'll still be looking back at what you have done. We'll still be looking up to you with thanksgiving that will be beautiful and pure. We'll still be looking around at all of the children of God that you have saved out of every language, tongue, people, and kindred. But then we'll be in the kingdom. Help us to look this morning in Jesus' name.